אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Israelis have maintained ongoing countrywide demonstrations to show support for the families of the hostages held in Gaza. In a meeting with representatives of the families of hostages on Thursday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the pressure on Qatar is starting to work. At the same time, Netanyahu reported that no real answer has come from Hamas, referring to the latest Israeli proposal, which is already several weeks old. The Prime Minister said they are still making unacceptable demands. They are reluctant to move forward. They want to set the area on fire in Ramadan. The war with Hezbollah continues, with many rockets fired into northern Israel, causing damage to homes, fields and property, and preventing residents from returning to their homes. The IDF carried out two waves of airstrikes deep in Lebanon late on Monday and on Tuesday morning. Fighter jets had hit several sites belonging to Hezbollah. On Tuesday morning, a barrage of 100 rockets was launched by Hezbollah from Lebanon at the Golan Heights. It marked one of the largest barrages fired by the group amid the ongoing war. The IDF Home Front Command has ordered the cancellation of a planned mass event next week on Mount Meron to mark the birth and death of Moses due to fear of Hezbollah rockets and missile attacks. IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said on Wednesday that the army plans to direct a significant portion of the 1.4 million displaced Gazans in Rafah towards humanitarian islands in the center of the territory ahead of a planned ground operation in the southernmost Gazan city. The operation will be carried out in coordination with international actors before Israel's offensive on Rafah, where Hamas maintains four battalions that Israel wants to destroy. The UN used a new land route on Tuesday to deliver food directly into northern Gaza for the first time in 3 weeks. A convoy of 6 aid trucks entered through the new military road stretching from the border near Kibbutz Be'eri to the coast of the Strip. The trucks, carrying aid from the UN's World Food Programme, were part of a pilot operation designed to prevent Hamas from taking over the aid. Also on Tuesday, Morocco sent 40 tons of humanitarian aid for Gaza via Ben Gurion Airport. Rabat's foreign ministry said in a statement that Morocco is the first country to transport its humanitarian aid via this unprecedented land route. The aid was later transferred to the Palestinian Red Crescent at the Kerem Shalom crossing between Israel and the Gaza Strip. Egypt's foreign minister has called on Israel to open additional land crossings to let more aid into Gaza. Egypt's military has recently taken part in airdrops of aid into Gaza. Aid officials, however, say that land transport is the only really effective way of scaling up deliveries to meet needs. Much of the aid provided by international donors has been stockpiled at El Arish in northern Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Israel denies obstructing aid into Gaza. Failures by aid agencies for delays and the Islamic group Hamas has diverted the aid. Hamas denies this and says Israel uses hunger as a weapon in its military offensive. There were numerous terrorist attacks this past week inside Israel, with most of them aborted before causing injury. But two people were wounded in a stabbing attack at a checkpoint in the entrance to Jerusalem early on Wednesday at the tunnel checkpoint in Gush Etzion. The attack was perpetrated by a 15-year-old who arrived at the tunnel crossing on a bicycle from the Jerusalem area, and as security forces at the crossing attempted to check him, he drew a knife and began stabbing them at the scene. Senior Warrant Officer Ori Moyal from Dimona died on Thursday after being stabbed while waiting in line in an Aroma coffee shop at the Bet Kama Junction in the Negev. The terrorist was identified by the Shin Bet as Fadi Abu Al-Tayef, 22, an Israeli citizen residing in Rahat. On Tuesday, 13-year-old Palestinian Rami Haddan Al-Haluli died after he was wounded during clashes with border police. Violent riots broke out in Shuafat for the second consecutive night on Monday, and during the unrest, a single shot was fired by an officer towards a suspect whom he believed endangered the lives of forces while firing aerial fireworks in their direction. The incident is being investigated, and Internal Security Minister Ben-Gvir caused a scandal by demonstrating against the hearing of the police internal investigations. Brigadier General Dan Golfus, the commander of the 98th Division, has been summoned for a clarification conversation with IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Alevi on Friday over his remarks in a press conference on Wednesday. Golfus addressed the Israel's political leadership after a prepared and approved statement, telling them that they must be worthy of us, that the military would not run away from responsibility, and that the government must reject extremism. The IDF has said these remarks had not been authorized by Goldfuss's superiors and were added into the speech after it had been approved. The tension between Israel and the US grew this past week as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called for new elections in Israel, accusing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of prioritizing his political survival above the country. And on Tuesday, the U.S. State Department sanctioned two Israeli illegal outposts in the West Bank, Moshe's Farm, also known as the Tirzah Valley Outpost, and Svi's Farm, near the Halamish settlement. Three settlers were sanctioned, Moshe Shavit, who runs the former outpost, and Svi Bar Yosef, who runs the latter one, and Neria Bar Pazi from the Rimonim Farm in the West Bank. This was the second round of such sanctions. Minister Benny Gantz boycotted a Thursday evening meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu over the government's refusal to seriously discuss his party's proposal for enlisting Haredim into the IDF. On Wednesday, Netanyahu decided to ask the High Court to allow the government to delay submitting an explanation, already overdue, as to why it should not begin drafting yeshiva students. War Cabinet Ministers Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot's proposal, which calls for a gradual increase in Haredi military service, is the only plan publicly presented by members of Netanyahu's coalition so far. Hebrew media has claimed that the Prime Minister has conveyed to the Haredi parties that he would compensate them retroactively if the High Court finds that the current government policy of exempting Haredim from military and national service is illegal, at which point Haredim who do not serve would be considered to be in breach of the law, and they and their institutions where they study would be denied state funds. Opposition leader Yair Lapid and former Minister Avigdor Lieberman have been leading the campaign to compel Haredim, especially those who are not undertaking full-time yeshiva studies, to be recruited along with all other Israeli teenagers. The adjustment to the 2024 budget to cover the costs of the war with Gaza passed through the Knesset this week, although some ministers have not signed off on the agreement to cut a certain percent of their budgets, meaning it may not be possible to implement the bill. Opposition leader Yair Lapid said it was another case of Netanyahu's government robbing the working middle class to support the Haredim. The Jewish Agency has offered a 100,000 shekel reward for information that leads to the authorities to the whereabouts of 9-year-old Heimanut Kassow, who has been missing from Sfat for over 2 weeks. There are currently no leads in the hunt for her. And finally, the first Zionist Women's Congress was held in Jerusalem on Tuesday with 150 delegates from women's organizations, entrepreneurs, social activists, and other prominent women. This is Peter Jones Pellach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.